This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
And we are back. Joe, how has the evening gone so far? We've done pretty good as far as some of the guests that we've had so far.
Governor, Rob Gilman, Sean O'Connell, Kevin Tachi.
Bill Carpenter. And our next guest, who has been, I will tell you, has been waiting here patiently since 6 o'clock. I commend him. Is our next guest.
I actually don't even do that.
Yeah, you're... You get the ADD, ADHD.
That's the problem.
But I told my during the breaks, I've told him that he's going to be the cherry on top this evening to all of our conversations. A gentleman with a great background. We talked a little bit about his background, and from what he has told me is that he is somebody who's gone from being a multiplayer online game producer to who's going to be now a senior producer of a special new project. We're going to talk about the Kickstarter project. We have Chris Siegel, who's here joining us, and it's far deeper than that. I'm just kind of giving you the surface, but we're going to delve into a guy who has, he was talking about radio when he got here and having, you know, he has a little work as far as a degree, right, in broadcasting.
Yep.
Somebody who has been doing stuff with computer games, who is actually, I think you say something about you've done some work on as far as TV or television career. Camera guy, editor, you've done a lot of stuff.
Emmy nominations, all of that. That was a whole lifetime ago. That's almost 20 years ago now.
Well, we have Chris Siegel, who is here. First and foremost, how did you get started in doing games? What makes you someone who wants to, instead of being the person who goes out and buys the games, you're the guy who wants to somehow oversee how it's made from all its intricacies, from whether it's what the background looks like to the character makeup and stuff like that, and it being something that it's, you know, multiplayer, because that's big these days, these multiplayer games.
Well, first, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
And I can't believe I'm following the governor and the mayor of my hometown, and that's pretty cool. And a weather guy talking about systems, and we'll talk about systems a little later when it comes up with our game that we're working on called Underworld Ascendant.
Yep.
But how did I get started? Well, it all goes back to two things. Star Wars in 1977.
Ooh.
And that got me on the film train. And the first time I played Dungeons & Dragons, my mother was actually my dungeon master. We were on vacation up in the White Mountains, and everybody else played it for a night and was like, ha ha ha, that was cool, and I was completely hooked.
Really? What is it about that game? What is it that hooks people? I've never gotten it. I've done gaming, from the cards to, I mean, because it's evolved these days. There is so many, whether it's online, whether it's with cards, whether it's with dice, whether it's with execution.
I think one of the things is that when we're really young, right? I watch this with my kids. Those first 5 years, it's play. You're learning through play. You're play, right? It's like when you're
Atari
like
2600, guilty right here.
Right? But it's like they're almost their whole being all day long is
playing.
Play. Yeah. And they learn so much doing that. Dungeons & Dragons opened up a whole can of worms for me because it was writing, it was math, it was working with creativity, it was, you know, drawing pictures, it was creating worlds, so it's almost like building out a play. So it tapped into my creative endeavors, and I don't know, I just never got over that, really. You know, I kind of like lived parallel between that world and also film.
Sounds like you're kind of got like a geek thing going on.
I kind of got a geek thing.
It's not bad. The geek thing's kind of working these days. I mean, anybody who's a fan of the Big Bang Theory,
oh, sure,
love the show.
I'm that weird guy that crosses over, though, because I'm I'm a geek.
You say you're like Leonard? Well, who, if you were to be a character on Big Bang, which one would identify you best? You don't want to be...
Penny? No.
Okay.
Not... probably Leonard, but...
Okay. Even, that's what I was thinking, was Leonard. You're kind of the guy who... You've got the geek, but you also got the coolness, too.
Yeah, I got the girl. Hi, honey.
Marcy will be happy to know that.
Yeah. The thing that I had to do growing up, though, is geeks weren't cool yet, right? In the 80s?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It was... You know, so I'm doing the D&D thing. I'm hiding out in the back of, you know, bookstores doing that at the same time of, you know, partying with my friends and listening to Guns N' Roses and, you know, being a normal teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned how to live, like, two lives, right? I had my geek friends and I had my metalhead buddies. And they didn't
we had Pink Floyd going into break. He's like, wow, Pink Floyd. So yeah,
and then you came into my thing on Zeppelin too, yeah, man. Zeppelin, perfect, yeah. Perfect.
So, but it seems to me like you kind of were torn between the gaming side of things, but you also have a love of film, and that there's certain things that you've wanted to do in that regard, correct? So it seems as though you could have been a guy who was in the film industry and worked your way up from a grip to a guy who was doing lighting to, you know, anything.
And that was the original plan.
Okay.
I went to school for broadcasting, and, you know, the original plan was to, you know, head west and do exactly that, right? Go work for Roger Corman and do terrible films for a few years and then be the next Steven Spielberg.
Sure.
I ended up getting a job before I graduated in television news. So, you know this industry. It's like, if you land a job, good on you, right?
But it's tough.
But it's tough.
Right.
And, you know, and it was a small place and it didn't pay great, but... You know, I went from being a cameraman to being the director, and then basically running a good chunk of the station. Of, you know, I was doing NCAA basketball games. I was doing the newscast every night. I brought online their second newscast, rebuilt the set, did the lighting grids, did a jazz show, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Renaissance band.
Yeah. Well, it was great, right? I was 24. Yeah. I was going.
But
out of
you
my
also
mind.
You won two Emmys doing the TV.
I
thing.
Didn't win.
Okay.
I was
it says,
nominated.
You're nominated. I didn't see the nominated thing. I apologize. Yep. Again, you were nominated. Nominated is right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I got the letter. I didn't get the trophy. And that's actually my only regret from my time in television news, is that I didn't walk away with one of those.
What was the nominations for? Was it a sports editing. Thing or for editing?
Yep.
That's tough.
Yeah.
You're probably doing linear editing, right?
Linear editing.
Yay. Yeah. Yep. It's not like today with nonlinear where it's all digital and everything, where you're doing deck to deck.
Deck to deck. I was doing A-B roll on that particular thing. I was doing an A-B roll. Yeah, and then all the tips and tricks that you had to
I work with a great guy who does that, locally, Steve Roy, who has been doing stuff on the South Shore for 30-plus years. Doing cable TV on the local level, from doing stuff in Brockton to being, you know, regionally doing stuff now in Whitman, and lucky to work with him. But so I've been able to learn a few tricks doing stuff with him. But that's fantastic. And when you think that people think, oh, editing, that's nothing. But editing today is so different from editing back then. So
it was a craft.
It was a craft,
and it still is. I mean, you still have to have that creative piece going on, but learning a nonlinear editor is a little easier.
Okay, so you moved into the realm. You decided to ditch out of doing that. Your heart really wasn't into that,
right?
And you kind of got into doing games.
Yep.
Talk to me about getting into the game realm.
So while I was I ended up getting a job at Channel 56. May it rest in peace.
LVI.
Yep.
Creature Double Feature.
Creature Double Feature, yep. I tried so hard to bring that back. But while I was working there, I was spending my nights playing these games. I was, you know, I saw Doom, and I actually had a $200+ long-distance phone bill because I was dialing into Boston from Worcester to play this game multiplayer.
Really?
Right? Because you couldn't play over the internet yet. You know, this is 96-ish.
It's just on the cusp of the internet revolution.
But I saw first person, and I was like, this is the beginning of the end of the passive entertainment, right? This is, the people are going to jump on this stuff huge.
Right.
And I wanted to be a part of that. So I started building Doom levels and Quake levels and all that, and left television, ran into a dude in a McDonald's in Cambridge. I saw he was wearing an E3 jersey, and we got to talking, and he was like, oh, I work at Looking Glass. It's right over here by Alewife. Why don't you come over and interview for a job?
Who knew?
Who knew? So I did. I got hired. I was in quality assurance for Thief the Dark Project and Thief Gold and Flight Unlimited 3. And finally got my design position, and then we went out of business. Right? I then spent the next 8 years building a digital nonlinear editor for television broadcast. For Grass Valley Group, and it was a nightmare, to say the least.
Okay.
But it paid well. I was starting a new family, and you know, so I wasn't following my passion for a chunk of the 2000s.
Okay.
I then got a job at Turbine. I came in as a lead for quality assurance again, for international, and that was a whole new bag of tricks, and. Moved up to a QA manager on Dungeons & Dragons Online, became a producer on Dungeons & Dragons Online, was running that whole show, and right before I left there, I jumped over and was doing Lord of the Rings Online. And now, here's the fun part.
Right, we got 6 minutes to talk about the fun part.
All right, 6 minutes to talk about the fun part. So, I left Turbine, and it's run by Warner Brothers, and lack of creativity, and yada, yada, yada. I don't want to bad. Now I'm working back with my old boss from Looking Glass. We're a new company. We're called Other Side Entertainment. We're bringing back one of the first games that we did, which was Ultima Underworld, 92. It was the first game that had true 3D graphics. This was before Wolfenstein, before Doom, right? It was really the trailblazer. And we're going back to that franchise, trying to bring the same kind of innovation and game style that we were doing back then. So here we are.
Okay. Talk to us about, you've got a Kickstarter project. What is a Kickstarter project? And what are you looking to do? And is there a time limit that you're trying to do with this in?
Sure. So we got about 13 days left on the Kickstarter. A Kickstarter is what they call crowdfunding. So if you're interested in a project, you put in a donation or a pledge, and you basically you're backing the game to see if it gets made. And there's multiple tiers that you can come in at, and each tier has some in-game items or, you know, a boxed copy or all the way up to, you know, we'll come and wash your car. You know, I mean, like... basically it's you're just showing your support through dollar signs. One of the problems with my industry is getting the seed money to get these things off the ground can be really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're trying to do something a little more creative and a little more innovative, these are the things that publishers shy away from. They want Assassin's Creed 17 or Call of Duty 14.
Mm.
They don't want something a little new and a little different.
Okay. And so what you do is you're taking some of these ideas that you've previously worked with, and are you trying to give it a new kind of a new life and new ideas to it and different, because everything is level based and right. With online stuff, it's so unique, and a lot of people live vicariously through this.
Yes. So this isn't going to be massively multiplayer like our old game, like the games I worked on at Turbine.
Okay.
I don't want to take over people's lives, but I do want them that when they enter our world, that it feels like a living and breathing thing. These were the things that we were experimenting with back when Looking Glass closed, and these are the ideas we want to come back and bring forward into this new century.
What are some of the ways for people to get a better idea of what you're building on, what you're looking to do, and once you've raised the money you need to raise? What do you do with those monies? Is it just a matter of getting the, you know, fully designing this thing and putting it before somebody who's going to take it to a publisher will take it to the next level? Is that what it is?
It's no publisher. Okay. We're trying to get completely outside of the publisher system.
Okay.
This is developer owned. We're going to live on our merits.
Okay.
What are we going to do with the money? Spend frugally. If you want to get a better idea of what our game is, you can go to www.underworldascendant.com or go to www.kickstarter.com and do a search for Underworld,
okay.
And you'll see our page.
And what is the Underworld Ascendant? Give me kind of a background on that game.
It's a spiritual successor to a game that came out in 1992, which was called Ultima Underworld. It was groundbreaking at the time. Instead of building level 1, level 2, level 3, Paul Nareth and company built basically a dungeon simulation. So there is systems that were driving this world instead of scripted events.
Okay. Right? And what's some of the cool aspects that you want folks to enjoy in a game like this? Is that kind of a secret in the development stage?
No, it's not a secret. So what we try to aim for is we want you, the player, to do what you want to do. We don't want to dictate the story and everybody comes out at the end. What we're looking for is the next day when you guys get together at the water cooler and you're like, hey, I did this really cool thing, blah, 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 blah. He goes, I didn't solve it that way at all. I solved it a completely different way. That's what we're looking for.
So there isn't just one way of doing something. So, okay. All right. Well, promise me that you're going to come back in a couple of months.
Sure.
And give us an update as to where things stand.
Absolutely.
Once again, the website, folks want to find out more and get involved with the Kickstarter?
www.underworldascendant.com.
That's all the show we have. Joe, great job this evening.
You too, Kevin.
Until next week at 6:15, folks, have a great evening.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.